Thy strong word did cleave the darkness. At thy speaking it was done. For created light we thank thee, while thine ordered seasons run. Alleluia.
Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. She was a dog. She was a dog, worse than a mere lap dog, but one of those, as we mentioned briefly earlier, one of those yippy dogs that circles your feet, eagerly looking for attention and crumbs of food that fall on the floor. The kind that incessantly jumps up and down, clawing your leg. The kind that you just want to kick. Yes, this woman who came to Jesus and the disciples in her gospel reading from today, from this morning, was loud. She came before Jesus shouting and crying out to him. She croaked flamboyantly like a raven. She shrieked with an ongoing annoyance. Have mercy on me, Lord, Son of David. My daughter is tormented by a demon. Yes, she was not only a showy irritation, but she had serious family problems as well, for her daughter was indeed tormented by a demon. My friends, there are two equal and opposite errors into which we can fall in regard to demons and the evil one, the devil himself. One is to disbelieve in their existence. That is the first error. The second error is to believe and to feel an excessive and unhealthy interest in them. They, the demons, the evil one, are equally pleased by both errors and hail a materialist or a magician with the same delight. In other words, we are to be babes in evil. We don't go around looking for evil. However, even though we are to be babes in evil, we are very conscious that evil does, in fact, exist. What this means is that demon possession and things of the evil one are no light matter for us. While Scripture is clear that no one will snatch us from the Lord's hand, we also know that demons rarely come uninvited into one's life and into one's family. For example, yes, we dangle our fingers in shark-infested waters with every sin that we commit. To open the internet to a porn site is to open a portal for the demons to come into your home. To dabble in the occult, whether it is calling demonic spirits through a Ouija board or dabbling in television and music media that embraces occultism, is definitely something to be alarmed by. Furthermore, to harden your conscience so that you can enjoy a particular pet sin, knowing that you will repent later on, is to invite evil into your life as well. Indeed, sin not only has eternal consequences, but sin also wreaks havoc in the now. Indeed, the evil one is intent on, yes, he is intent on killing, stealing, and destroying you and your faith. The particular woman in our gospel reading from today has definitely experienced the mayhem of sin in her life. Her daughter was tormented by a demon, and she was desperate for reprieve, as shown by her dramatic pleading towards Jesus. We can hear her shrieking and yelling the echoes of this from the Scriptures. Have mercy on me, have mercy, Lord, Son of David. She cried it out loud. She certainly had no strategy to fix her predicament, no plan, no particular action strategy for Jesus that he needed to follow. She simply was before Christ, laid bare with her hellish circumstances. The disciples, though, are neither impressed nor the least bit interested in her story. She is a Canaanite woman who is not of the sheep of Israel. She is very loud, and it seems that the disciples are uncomfortable with the amount of attention that she is bringing about to her and the situation. Thus, the disciples, they logically urged Jesus to simply give her what she requested so that she could be rid of, to be dismissed. Yes, the disciples, they wanted this ongoing annoyance gone away from their presence. Jesus, just give her what she wants so that she will shut up and leave us alone. In response to the disciples' request, Jesus said that he came for the lost sheep of Israel, thus implying that he was not some wandering miracle worker who traveled from problem to problem, but rather the Messiah of Israel who was on a mission of redemption for all mankind. Indeed, Jesus certainly did not heal and fix every single problem during his ministry, for if he would have, he wouldn't have never gotten to the cross of salvation, and we would be all left damned in our sin. Overhearing Jesus' response, the woman nevertheless is driven to further desperation. She drops to her knees and resorts to the simple plea, "Lord, help me. Lord, help me." To which Jesus says, "It is not right to take the children's bread and throw it to the dogs." Now, a lot of ink has been spilt trying to discern Jesus' words of these words of, "It is not right to take the children's bread and to throw it to the dogs." Was he testing the woman? Was he trying to see if she really knew his identity? Was he attempting to confront the disciples' judgmental opinion of her? Was he making a theological point? Well, we could indeed spend many hours attempting to discern Jesus' response to her. The greater importance for us to take note of today is how this woman responds to Jesus. How did this woman respond then? How does she react to what seems to be this trash talking going on right in front of her face? Did she tuck her tail and leave? Did she shrug off her shoulders and go away seeking out a different cure from a different source? Imagine her, maybe she said, "Oh well, I tried. I'll try something else. This Jesus guy is a jerk who doesn't want to help," so maybe she went on to someone else. Did she do what many of us would do and tear into Jesus, giving him a piece of her mind? You can imagine her maybe saying, "Now see here, you arrogant, self-righteous Messiah. Who do you think you are? You don't know me and what I've been through. How dare you judge me?" My brothers and sisters in Christ, these are things that we would do, that I would do. These are things that we have done and still do. For an example, many self-professed Christians are just looking for an excuse, any excuse, to not come to the one place where Christ calls them to be on Sunday morning, to feed them and nourish them with his life-giving word and sacrament. Indeed, there are times where we want to be offended by the Lord and his church so that we can excuse ourselves from the Lord's presence. "I'm offended, therefore I won't attend church. I'm offended by a Jesus that doesn't bolster my self-esteem. Therefore I will find a different representation of Jesus that will put my conscience at ease." How did this Canaanite woman respond, though? How did she respond to this phrase of Jesus, saying that, "Is it right to give the bread of children to dogs?" Take careful note that the woman, yes, this woman, does not get discouraged, but instead acknowledges her sinful condition and speaks back Christ's own words, boldly holding him to his eternal promise of mercy and deliverance and providence for her. She doesn't deny her sinful reality or try to justify herself. She owns up to all of it. "Yes, Lord, you're absolutely right. I'm a lowly dog who deserves nothing." But even lowly dogs are recipients of good and gracious masters who feed the dogs with table scraps. My friends, the woman does not use her setbacks to victimize herself. She doesn't excuse her sin and the predicament of her child being tormented by evil. She accepts the fact that she is a nobody. She accepts the fact that she is a dog underneath the table. She accepts the fact that she is indeed a beggar, that she is indeed in need of help. There were no phrases from the woman like, "Yeah, but," or "That sounds intolerant," or "Gee, that is not a loving thing to say, Jesus." Rather, she accepts the classification. Like the woman, are we not driven to the same place each and every Sunday morning here at our divine service? Each and every Sunday, do we not confess at the beginning of our service that we are by nature sinful and unclean, that we do not deserve a seat at the table, but rather are dogs underneath the table? Indeed, dear saints, we confess that we have sinned against God in our thoughts, in our words, in our deeds, by what we have done and by what we have indeed left undone. Truly, in our confession of sin, at the beginning of our service, we are not excusing and justifying ourselves. We are not rebuking the Lord, but yes, we are rightly taking the blame for our sin. We are confessing that God would be perfectly just to damn us for our sins. We are confessing that He is the Lord and that we are not. In our confession of sin, each and every Sunday morning, we are confessing that we have indeed played with fire in our own lives in the past week. We are confessing that we have put our marriage, we have put our family and lives at risk with the deeds of darkness by abusing our own body with neglect of health, excessive use of food and drink and drugs, using our ears and our eyes to incite cravings for the body of one who is not our spouse, injuring our neighbors through our murderous words, perverting the Lord's name, a name placed upon us at baptism, when we use it as a cuss word, and ultimately exalting the unholy trinity of me, myself, and I, believing the lies that our sin is good and that righteousness is evil. My friends, repent. Throw yourself upon the mercy of Christ. Not only can He save you, just as He saved the Canaanite woman, but He has saved you. He has taken your sins upon Himself. He has suffered the punishment you deserved in your place as your scapegoat. He has declared you righteous and placed His name upon you. He will hold you to His promises because He indeed cares for you. For in Him, in Jesus, you are not a Gentile, nor are you a dog. You are His bride. You are His chosen one, declared immaculate and radiant, worthy of His love, because He is indeed rich in mercy, yes, for you. Because the Lord does not reject you, you who have a broken spirit and a contrite heart, because He does not despise and vile you who have been crippled, weakened, crushed, and torn down. My friends, because He does not reject you, you can call Him Son of David. You can call Him your Lord. Furthermore, since He has pulled you and He has pulled me out of the hell and death that we deserve unto Himself, He gives us so much more than just mere breadcrumbs. He gives you His risen body and His risen blood, which is poured into your mouths and set upon your tongues, making you a part of Him. He heard the woman's cry for help, gave Himself to her, thus resulting in the desertion of the demons. So it is with you as well. He gives to you, He gives to your soul, and sends all sin away, declaring, yes, declaring you righteous for His name's sake. Dear saints, dear beloved saints, you are not left with evil, and the devil has no power over you. You are not left in your helpless cries, for the Lord has answered you in His word, saying, "It is finished for you." My friends, like the Canaanite woman, you belong to Jesus. The peace, my friends, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and your minds. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah.
dwelt in darkness, dark as night and deep as death, broke the light.